What a joy it is to be able to be with you again tonight to worship and serve the Lord. He's my friend. Jesus is my friend. Isn't that wonderful? We can sing, and truly those of us who are children of God can say, Jesus is my friend. Today, we've had a wonderful, I just enjoy being with all you folks. I don't know where the name tags are, but I enjoyed that so much, go walking up there and not having to ask people's names. You know, when a fella comes in, about 300 folks that you're trying to get acquainted with, and it's so nice to be able to just look on there and say, that's Dodd, and that's Sam, and over there's David, and Mike, et cetera, and Bobby. If I'm ever playing horseshoes, I know who I want on my side. Thanks to the Hovaders for letting us be out there today. And I'm just enjoying being with Ruth and Paul. And I know we're going to enjoy being in their home. They've always been so hospitable to us. And that's one thing about young people. Young men, if you're not considered to be preachers, let me urge you to do so, to preach the gospel naturally. The fringe benefits are just great, too. You have all these wonderful meals. You have people that you can associate with. And the most important thing of all, just being with God's people. And I found you to be so wonderfully. I already was told, though, about this church, how good it was. And I just know we're going to enjoy this week because we can serve God together. We're serving the same God. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, and this wonderful reading of the scriptures, our good brother tonight, so impressed. So I just thought, boy, that's a sermon within. Oh, great sermon. Just reading the Word of God like that. A good prayer by our good brother, Brother Larry. Excellent singing and just being able to worship our God. How can anyone turn away? How can anyone quit serving the Lord? Looking unto Jesus for strength to endure to the very end. With all of these things that we've already engaged in tonight that build us up. No wonder when Paul was speaking to the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 at verse 32. He said, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Serving the Lord to the very end, faithful to the very end. The Apostle Paul, as he was writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 at verse 58, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, and it isn't. And we need to keep that in our minds, and as we're emphasizing this week, looking unto Jesus and tonight for strength to endure to the very end. And the only way we can do that is to recall constantly those passages of scriptures that tell us that our strength is not within ourselves. Our strength is complete dependence upon the Son of God. In Philippians 4 at verse 13, Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The strength that we have to be able to help us to be victorious in the very end comes from Christ our Lord. Jesus had a lot of people that confronted him. Some came and asked questions, tempting or trying him. There were those that Jesus touched who were afflicted with, for example, those that could not see, they were blind. I've often thought what a tremendous blessing that must have been for a person to just sit there and say, Lord, help me. And Jesus, what would you that I should do for you? And then the response is, Lord, that I might be able to see. Had a lady in Shelbyville, Tennessee, where I used to preach, walking horse capital of the world, Pencil City. I'm not pushing for Shelbyville, Tennessee. Oh, what a wonderful little town. There was a lady there that the doctors told her that she was going to lose her sight. And she told me, she said, you know, Brother McDaniel, that's one thing that I dread to think about, that I'll not be able to see. And she said, you know what I do every morning? And I called her by name and she said, what? I said, sister, what do you do every morning? She said, every morning when I wake up and I look toward the window, if I can see the light, I say, thank you, God, for another day that I can see. How often do we thank God for things that we actually take for granted? Things like being able to see. It wasn't too long till she got worse. And when she did lose her sight, you know what her attitude was? She said, I thank God now that He let me see as long as I was able to see. Strength. Strength to be able to endure to the very end. The fight is on. And Paul could say before he left this earth in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. He had something in mind. Paul could say, I've got one thing I want to be able to accomplish, and that is to be victorious, be faithful to my Lord. And he could say, before he died, I have accomplished those things. Strength to endure to the very end. Ever so often, brethren asked me to come back for a series of gospel meetings. Where I've been before, I remember going up in West Virginia. I love the hills of West Virginia. You don't go over the mountains there. You go through them, don't you? Through the tunnels. And as I was traveling up there to go back and to return in a gospel meeting, thinking of all the brethren that I had met before and contemplating seeing them again, what a sad thing it was when I walked in the congregation. I began to ask about one brother in particular. And they said, Brother McDaniel, we're sorry to tell you, he's not serving the Lord any longer. He doesn't come anymore. He turned back. I tried to get in touch with him that week to no avail. How can anyone give up, turn away? If you have your Bible, would you read with me from Matthew chapter 19 of a young man that came to Jesus? And this young man, well, we can point out in the very beginning that he was a man that was a young man. He was an individual that was concerned about something that was so important, and that is his soul. If you read with me from Matthew chapter 19, drop down at verse 16, and note what the Word of God says. At verse 16 beginning, and behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Friends, stop there just for a moment, if you will, and let's notice some things about this young man. First of all, we find that the Bible says this young man was a young man, and that he was a concerned man because he came to Christ and he was asking Christ about salvation. He wanted to know what he needed to do in order to have eternal life. He wanted to be able to enjoy the blessings of heaven after a while, and so he was concerned. He was a questioning man. He asked the question, What shall I do that I may have eternal life? That's a good one, isn't it? Why, everybody ought to be asking, Lord, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he was a good moral man because Jesus, after he was told, when Jesus was asked which of the commandments and Jesus enumerated these, this young man said, I have not been guilty of all of those things. Why, he hadn't been a murderer. He had not been an adulterer. He was a good moral man. And he was the man that was respectful because he was the man that honored his father and his mother. He loved his neighbor as himself. He was a wealthy young man. Look at all these things concerning this young man. Oh, what a fine young person. All Jesus is saying to him, if you will be complete, if you will be perfect now, and you want to be one of my disciples, here's all that you got to do. What is it, Lord? Give up all that you got and come and follow me. Give up everything that you have. What would it be like not to have anything physically? Why so many people are striving after possessions in this old life. They're even giving up their souls in order to gain just a few possessions in this world. And no wonder Jesus says, what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? Here is a young man that needed to think. But the Bible says, in verse 22, read it with me if you will. In verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he was a man of great possessions. Why did he turn away? Because of his possessions. Because of the material things that he had. And I'll be frank with you, I've been thinking quite a bit about that. What would it be like to actually not have claim to anything materially? That'd be kind of rough. We like to have our checkbook. We like to have the money that we have. We like to have be in possession of some goods. And that's good. There's no problem there. But Jesus, with regards to this man, knew there was something that separated him from being a disciple of his. He had to become poor. And I've always been quite interested in the fact that Jesus told him to give it to the poor. Isn't that interesting? Give it away. Give it to someone that can't give it back to you. And then Jesus said, if you'll do that, you'll lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. We're reminded of a passage that correlates with this one in Matthew chapter 6. At verse 19, where Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Oh, what it must be like when we stand before the Lord in the last day, my beloved, and there in the bank of heaven have all that you've given to Him. Doesn't that just make you want to give more and more and more? And here this young man, if he really wanted to be wealthy, if he wanted everything, all he has to do is just give everything he's got away. And he then can become a disciple of Jesus. But he turned away, for he was a man of great possessions. I'm afraid that we live in a time when there are a lot of people who do the same thing today, aren't you? I knew of a man, or was told about a man up in Tennessee, who started the business, and the business, boy, it's got off the ground. It was going just real well. The man would come to Bible study. He would come to worship. He'd come on Sunday night. When there was a series of gospel meetings, he was there. He was there on Wednesday night. At first, he would not allow his business to keep him away. It got so big, pretty soon he began to fly all over the country. His business was just really growing. He was prospering. And finally, he couldn't go on Wednesday nights. He couldn't go to gospel meetings. It even got to the point where it was difficult for him to be there on Sunday night. And soon he gave that all up, but he wouldn't give up Sunday morning. His business continued, and all he was getting wealth after wealth after wealth. And you know the story as it usually goes with wealth. If you're not careful about it, it can get a hold of you. And before you know it, it becomes your master, and you fall in obeisance to it. He did that. Oh, we built him a house on one of the hills in the beautiful rolling hills in Tennessee. It was a tremendously beautiful home. He's only 40 years of age. He had given up finally coming to all the services. He'd given up serving the Lord. He was now making all of these things, these possessions that he had. And suddenly, he had a heart attack. And he was gone. One day, there was a preacher and another fellow that was riding in the car. And as they were driving by that beautiful mansion that was on that hill, the other fellow looked up at that mansion. He said, "Isn't that just beautiful?" And began to admire it. And he was talking to the preacher about it. And he said, "You know, I just wonder how much that cost that man that built that house on the hill." And the preacher looked at him and he said, "I know exactly what it cost him." He said, "How much and what was it?" He said, "It cost him his soul. It cost him his soul." Whose house is it now? Young man, as he stands before Jesus, is saying, "Good master, what can I do that I may have and be able to live forever?" And Jesus said, "Here's all you need to do. Keep the commandments." And he said, "I've kept all of these from my youth up. What is it that I lack yet?" And the response was that Jesus said, "Just give all that you have to the poor and lay up for yourself treasure in heaven and come and follow me." And he turned away. He turned away sorrowful. There are a lot of times when you talk to people who have quit serving the Lord and how tragic that is, whenever they have experienced the good word of God, being able to be with Christians and working in the service of God, and then give all of that up. And you challenge them. So often they'll say, "I'm just so sorry. I wish I could come back. But I just can't do it. I can't live the way I'm living now and be a Christian. And so I just give it all up." And the reverse should be true. This young man should be a great lesson for all of us. To not allow possessions to keep us. This morning I mentioned about children, and I like children. I love to see them out there on the lake today and running all different directions. And isn't it just wonderful to be around them? Have you ever just given your child a whole day? I had my son some years ago. I don't remember exactly how old he was, but we preachers get awfully busy. And a lot of times we neglect our families. I guess perhaps if I stand before God tonight, that'd be one of the things that I'd have to say, "Father, I'm sorry for it. I've told my kids so often how sorry I was for that." But I told Tim that day, I said, "Tim," I said, "anything you want to do today, this afternoon, it's all yours. My whole afternoon is yours." Wouldn't I be generous? Isn't that something? We live near Woolco. That was when they were in business. Down there in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. You know, in my mind, I knew exactly when, or I knew exactly what he would want to do. I said, in my mind, he'll want to go to Woolco. He'll want us to go down there to the sports or go down where the toys are, and we'll spend the afternoon in this variety store, discount place, or whatever you call it. And boy, was I ever shocked when he looked over at me. He said, "Okay, Dad, you said the whole afternoon, here's what I'd like for us to do." You know what he wanted to do? He wanted us to fix some sandwiches, get us something to drink. And we lived near this big sage grass field out there. And he said, "Let's just go down there near a little shade tree. And you and I just go down there this afternoon and just be together." I said, "Don't you want to go to Woolco?" And he said, "No." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because you'd meet somebody that you know." He wanted me. And I want to tell you, folks, I've never had an afternoon with my son like that afternoon. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I wish to God that I would have spent more afternoons with him. Because I could have strengthened him, and he strengthens me. Will you go away? Turn away. Our young people need encouragement. Here was a young man that, oh, he just needs what? He needs to see through these material possessions. They're only his for a little time, and then they're gone. Will you also go away? A poem goes something like this. What shall you give to one small boy? A glamorous game, a tinsel toy, a fancy knife, a puzzle pack, a train that runs on a curving track, a picture book, or a real live pet? No! There's plenty of time for such things yet. Give him a day for his very own. Just one small boy and his dad alone. A walk in the woods, a romp in the park, a fishing trip from dawn to dark. Give him the finest gift that you can, the companionship of a grown-up man. Games are outgrown, and toys, they decay. But he'll never forget the gift of a day. Give him those things. That's so important. Possessions. Will you go away? Some have. They've turned away. They've turned away because of possessions. Pressure. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, at verses 42 and 43, the Bible tells us there were those that actually believed in Jesus. I've often wondered, well, here these folks are and they know Christ, and the Bible tells us they actually believe in him. How could anyone say, I'll turn away or I'll not be a follower of the one that can give them everything? The Bible tells us in John chapter 12, 42 and 43, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. Oh, that gives us a glimpse of something that's happening in the minds of these people. What was in the minds of these people? They have been told that if you acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, even though you believe that, if you acknowledge that, you will be put out of the synagogue. Pressure. Pressure exerted. Why? They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. What a statement given to us in the Word of God about a people that actually believed in Jesus. But because of the cost, and that is because they themselves would be put out of the synagogue, they would not confess Christ. I remember hearing the story of a man who said, you know, I cannot preach all of the truth because if I did, I know what would happen to me. I'd lose my job. I pray to God that I nor any other gospel preacher will ever have that attitude, that we'll remember what the charge is placed upon us from the inspired Word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, where Paul said, preach what? He said, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall turn unto fables. Paul, what are we to do? Preach the word without fear or favor of any. It matters not who it is. When it comes down to the truth of Almighty God, all of us must learn it and walk according thereto. It was Jesus who said, as I mentioned this morning, John 8 and verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Knowing what God says to us, and then being willing to abide in it, and those of us who preach to make sure that we preach that, no matter what the pressure may be. And then, as a result of such, leaving it all in the hands of the Lord. Pressure causes many to turn away. Turn away. Will you also go away? This question was posed to some disciples of Jesus. If you turn back to John chapter 6. Well, the Lord had a large number of people that were following after Him. And Jesus taught that He was the bread of life. Unless you eat this bread, He said, you have no life. John 6, verse 60. A multitude have been following after Him. And then the Bible tells us in verse 66, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. You could actually just put right in there, they turned away. They walked no longer with Him, the one who was the master teacher, the one that had shown them, that had demonstrated to them, the one who took the word and was expounding to them the way of life. And what do? They will not accept it. And as a result of such, they turn away. And Jesus said to the 12, will you turn away? Will you also go away? And then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and we are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, what are you saying? We believe in You. Lord, we believe that You are the Messiah. Lord, where should we turn if we turn away from You? And that's a question that ought to be in the minds of every individual. Where will I turn if I turn away from Jesus? To whom shall I go? And Peter said, Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and we are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of God. I had a man one time at Southern Boulevard, who had fallen off of a ladder and broken his back, and he was in the hospital. He wasn't a Christian. I visited him at the hospital, and there was another preacher that he had known. He loved that man so much, and he visited. I never will forget when he mentioned to me one day, he said, you know, I'm persuaded that I ought to be a Christian. And he said, just as soon as the doctors will allow it, I'm going to be baptized. And we prayed to that end, and sure enough, just as soon as he was able to, why, we put plastic over his legs and different parts of his body. And I never will forget getting in the baptistry, and there was someone else that helped me. And we baptized this man into Christ. And when he came up, oh, he was just so full of joy that now he understood. Now he was a Christian. And for a while, he was just so devoted, so faithful to the Lord. But the other preacher that he had a whole lot of confidence in, that man soon left his wife and went off with another woman. That disturbed this man so much. Finally, I went over to talk to him after he missed a time or two, and I said, what's wrong? And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, God, he said, if that man can't live a Christian life, there's no use of me even trying. And I looked straight at him and I told him this. I called him by name and I said, you know, there is something you've got to remember. You're looking at the wrong man. You're looking at the wrong man. He quit. Moved to Florida. About 5 years later, he came back. Came down with a sickness. He called me one day, and I went over there, and I sat down with him. It hurts, doesn't it? People throw away so many good years of their lives. Oh, why can't they see through the futility of sin?
Why do they turn away when there is pressure? And I never will forget when I walked in. Tears coursing down his cheeks. He looked at me and he said, "Oh, I have been so wrong. I am so sorry. What can I do?" Thank God he repented. Thank God he was restored. Thank God he gave what few months that he had left upon the earth in the service to the Lord. But his problem was the same as many today. Just looking at the wrong man. Some of us remember Brother James P. Miller and the stories told that he went in this place one time where he was checking in and this bellhop came over to get his luggage. And the bellhop knew that he was a preacher and he said, "Reverend Miller, I'll be glad to take that." He said, "Oh, I'm not a reverend." "Oh," he said, "Pastor Miller?" "Oh, I'm not a pastor." The young man evidently got kind of frustrated and finally he just said to Brother Miller, he said, "Well, just what are you anyway?" And all of us who knew Brother James B. Miller knew he's a great big tall fella. And as the story goes, he just looked at him, he said, "I'm just a little messenger boy for Jesus." Isn't that wonderful? Just being a little messenger boy for Jesus. That's all we need to be. And all we want people to do is to look at Christ and not us. We who preach don't want people to follow us. We don't want anybody to say, "I'm a disciple of Guy McDaniel or any other preacher." But rather, we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. For when you look to Him, beloved, you'll never turn away. He'll never disappoint you. Positions in this life causes some to not follow Christ. In Matthew chapter 23, if you got your Bible, look over in verse 6. In Matthew chapter 23, I guess of all the scathing remarks that Jesus had while he was upon the earth and the rebuking of all, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were the recipients of such. And in Matthew chapter 23, the Bible says in verse 1, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." One of the greatest lessons that ever any Christian can ever learn is the lesson to remember to do what you tell others to do. To practice what you preach. Jesus said, "These people are teaching that which is right, but they themselves are not doing it. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works do they do for to be seen of men." Why are they serving the Lord? Oh, their service is to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uttermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues. Position, position, position. I was preaching one time at a place where one of our elders in a group lost his temper. He just lost it. I don't know if he had hypoglycemia or not. A lot of times people say, "That's one of the..." But he just lost it. He came to me and I never will forget. He was so embarrassed. And he said, "You know, Guy, I'm telling you, I don't know what in the world caused me to act the way I did." He said, "What am I going to do?" He said, after we talked for a while, he said, "I know I'm going to get before the church and tell them I'm sorry." He never had done that before. He had served so faithfully. If I called his name, some of you'd know him. Great man. Never will forget that Sunday morning when he came forward and he came up. He stood in that pulpit and he looked out at those people and he said, I let you down. I wasn't the kind of example I ought to be. You don't want me to serve as an elder. I understand that. He said, I'm truly sorry. We prayed for him. And I doubt if there was a single person in that congregation that didn't go to him and tell him, you did exactly what you've told us to do. You made a mistake. You were wrong. You admitted it. We love you. We want you to work with us. Until the day he died, when I preached his funeral, I never saw him again. Ever. Do the same thing. For his losing his temper, his anger. Beloved, I want to tell you, there may be times when something happens to us that we do something when we normally would never do it. As we've mentioned before, let us practice what we preach, and let us admit that which is wrong and correct it. These people were doing what they were doing just to be seen of men. That's why they wouldn't turn to Jesus. Can you imagine in the church that the Bible tells us there was a man who actually the Bible names. A lot of times the name of the individual that is doing that which is wrong, a lot of times it's not even given. A certain man did this. But if you turn over in your Bible to 3 John in verse 9, we read in the Holy Word of God that there was a man that was in the church who loved to have the preeminence of men. He wanted to be looked up to. Oh, he was powerful. And the Bible tells us, beginning in verse 9, where John said, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. A powerful man. A powerful man that what? He loved. What did he love? The preeminence. I have never understood why any person would want to do anything in the kingdom of God to have a special place or preeminent, be preeminent. The servant of the Lord Jesus said that his greatest is the one that is minister of all. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 through 28, don't you know that the greatest in my kingdom are those that will do what? Are those that minister. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, can't you see Jesus, taking the towel and washing the feet of the disciples. You see the humility of our Lord. May God help us to always realize that the position we have in the kingdom of God is that of a servant. It matters not who we may be. Preeminence, many have turned away because they wanted their way and they were going to have their way or else. I went to a gospel meeting one time, and did you know in that meeting, wasn't too large of a congregation, but there were people that were sitting on this side that didn't speak to those people on that side. Y'all ever been to anything like that? Oh, I tell you, I've had some experience. There were one time where I was preaching. I'll get back to that story. But one time when I was preaching, I was walking out. Walking out in the foyer there to shake hands with everybody as they would come in. Finally, one of these brethren came in there. I took out my hand like that. I said, how you doing? He said, all right. Ooh, I thought if he was all right, I'll tell you what. Something wrong here. So pretty soon there was another came up and I said, how you doing? I'm fine. And then finally there was another that came up to me. And boy, I didn't hardly have to ask him about how he's doing. Woo, when I put out my hand to shake hands with his, he said, I want to tell you something. I knew I'd had it.
something was going on. I couldn't understand. We just had a meeting the night before, business meeting. We didn't have elders at that time. And they'd even given me a raise, Matt. And I just couldn't understand that. And he said, I want to tell you something. I said, what do you want to tell me? And he said, I want to tell you that my wife is home, and my wife is home with our children, and our children are sick, and I want you to know they're sick. Whew. I tell you, I thought I had empathy for and sympathized with people who were sick. But what had happened at the ladies' Bible class, I had made a comment. And the comment was this. Now, we really enjoy, appreciate all the ladies at the ladies' Bible class. But I don't understand why it is that sometimes that people say they can't come to ladies' Bible class because the children are sick. And then I see them out 2 or 3 hours later at a store. Of course, I was young at that time, too. But, you know, I made some statements. I ought to be careful. But this lady got on the telephone and she called so many of those folks who weren't there and told them that she just left the impression that I'd called their name. And those wives have got a hold of their husbands and those husbands got a hold of me. And I tell you what, we were going around and around and around and finally we got together. And said, "Sin, let's find out what's going on." It's easy, isn't it, to get out of hand. Beloved, I want to tell you, the lady that did all that calling, finally she said, "I'm sorry." Why is it? Why is it so often that relationships can be so strained? If there's some misunderstanding, go to the person and find out for yourself what they really mean. If you misunderstand something, find out what is meant by that which is said. Just for that, we'll just leave it. Just remember, the greatest of all in the kingdom of God are those who will serve King Jesus. I told you this morning about my little girl. Strength to endure to the very end. When we were told that she had cerebral palsy, we had never, didn't have any children of our own. I'll have to tell you folks tonight, I went to my God in prayer. And I'll tell you, I never went through some days that was more difficult for me than those days. Why? I complain. I'm ashamed to tell you. All we wanted, Lord, was just a little normal girl. They told us she'd probably never walk. And all the difficulties with it. And I'm a preacher. And I can't understand this. And I need some strength. And here, some 22 years later, I stand just so ashamed the way I felt at that time. Because God had so much in store for my wife and I that we could have never known had it not been God placing that precious little girl in our hands. She was about... Oh, I've forgotten the age. My wife tells me every time I get it mixed up. I was out in the back cutting some twigs off of the, some branches off of the tree. Taking them out in the front and brought Tabitha and laid her down in the backyard. And she watched me. And she'd gotten to that point where she could crawl. Probably about 3 or 4, something like that. She could crawl by pulling her body with her hands. And I got those branches, a lot of them out. Finally, I came back and I noticed her and she went over to those branches. She said, "Daddy, I want to help you." And she picked up a little twig about this long. It wasn't very long. It wasn't very big. It wasn't very much at all.
I'll help you. And she put it under her arm. And I just observed her and watched her. When I'd come back, she'd gone a few steps further. Oh, was that ever tedious and hard for her. Finally, when she got to that pile of twigs and limbs and stuff where I'd piled it on there, I got there just about the same time when she laid it up on the pile. She laid it up on there, and then she looked up at me and she said, "Daddy, I did it." I picked her up in my arms. I hugged her. And I said, "You sure did, sweetheart." And I said, "We're going to do it together." She now walks, though she limps. She's been able to drive a car. And the reason why is because she was determined not to give up. And whenever I think about giving up, in my mind I can go back and I can recall and I can see that little girl where she said, "Daddy, I did it." And when we get to the end of the way, when all is said and done, when all these things that are so meaningless in this whole life, we find Jesus being with us and Jesus saying, "I'll be with you. I'll help you." And then to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servants, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." Strength to help us to be faithful to the end. Don't give up. Look to Jesus. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5,